Welcome to FarmClub.com. Featuring live performances from U2, At the Drive-In, Wyclef Jean, and introducing, and you will know us by the Trail of Dead, with field correspondent Nadine Ellis and your hosts Ali Landry and me, Matt Pinfield.
This is where we bring our website to television for an hour of unbelievable performances from today's greatest artists.
Back to PMP Network. With us right now is Matt Pinfield. He is the co-host of a show called Jimmy and Doug's FarmClub.com on USA Network Monday nights at 11 o'clock. And how are you today?
I'm good, Mark. Good morning. It's about 6 a.m. out here in Los Angeles. And yeah, I'm doing good. I'm always up early because I get up to my... I got a baby girl who's about 9 months, and man, she doesn't know what the meaning of sleep is, so I get up early.
I just continue to get up. Had a couple myself. I know about that.
You know what that's all about. Yeah. That's cool, though. That's definitely what it's all about. So
I used to have a thing with my first one when he was a little baby. After the wife stopped breastfeeding and it was daddy's turn to take bottle time, 5:30 in the morning, I used to sit and watch Dobie Gillis on Nick at Night's morning thing there every morning with him.
Yeah, well, and that's cool. That's what's great about Nick at Night, too. You get all those great old shows, you
know? We used to watch that. And then when he got a little bit older, he was about 4 or 5 years old, the Dobie theme came out, and he recognized it, and he didn't know why.
That's really cool. It's funny how it stays in memory, you know?
It does. I guess it kind of goes in the little memory chips and stays in there forever.
Absolutely.
Now, what a fun job you have, huh?
Yeah, you know, I've been very fortunate, you know, over, I mean, the last, you know, like 10 years or so to be doing a lot of things that I love. I mean, I guess I consider myself always fortunate because, I mean, I was the kind of guy who, even if I worked 3 jobs, I always worked in music. If I worked 3 or 4 jobs to support myself or support, you know, the person I was with or my kid in the background, it was always good. I mean, you know, for years I DJed clubs and I DJed a small radio station, and then I was music director of a small station in New Jersey. Then, of course, I went to MTV and I worked there in the music department programming and did a show, and then by accident ended up being on the air all the time, doing a lot of different shows, and that ended up working out well. And then, you know, worked there about 7 years, and then moved to Jimmy and Doug's Farm Club last, you know, January. And I'm having a great time with the show. I mean, it incorporates all the things that I really love about music, and that's the fact that we're, you know, helping find new unsigned talent and bands and giving people a shot to get their music out there. And, I mean, it's a great live show, and, you know, all the big artists play on it, everybody from U2 to Limp Bizkit to Eminem. And then you've got, the element that, I mean, the website is just, the FarmClub.com website is really exciting. I mean, I've got a radio station on there. We've got, you know, tons of music people can download, and, you know, just stories. I mean, the whole thing is really cool. So it's a real exciting mix, I think, music multimedia for me.
You know, it's interesting to note that we both started our careers the same way. When I was a little kid, I bought a Radio Shack AM broadcasting kit.
And really?
And started in a little underground station out of my basement called WEAR, because I called it the Ear, EAR of Randolph. And
that's great.
And I used to get free records and stuff like that, and I was broadcasting for a long time, and then I got into broadcasting the way regular people do after that. And I understand you did the same kind of thing.
Exactly, same thing with it, I don't know if it was Radio Shack or if it was State, like a science fair they used to call it, because people would buy them and build them, you know. Yeah. The difference was, obviously, you and I liked it and actually used them to broadcast because that's what we wanted to do. So it was really fun, it was a really exciting thing, and I'm glad I had the opportunity. That must have been great. How did your parents take it?
They thought it was kind of cool, you know. The only one who didn't like it was my next-door neighbors, because I used to have a speaker out of my windows, and we actually had different neighbors in that house for a long time.
Wow, that's funny. Yeah, of course, because you're making noise and you want them to hear it. I mean, the thing was, I would get all my friends to help broadcast with me. You know, we weren't out playing baseball or war or whatever. You know, when you're a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand also that you had a close call with your health when you were about 15 years old too.
Yeah, I had an aneurysm. You know what I mean? It's which for young people out there, it's not just a song by Nirvana. It's a life threatening thing. A lot of people don't catch it in time and end up dying. You know, it's a main artery that becomes clotted, whether it be under the skull or above it. Aneurysms, if not detected early enough, or if you get hit by a blow or something, could explode, and that's the end of you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's I think what you know, I mean, I had you know, I had it was quite a few years ago, before they'd really perfected laser surgery, so and really gotten it down. So they didn't really think I was gonna live. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, so it was one of those things where they told my mother, you know, hey, you know, we don't think you're gonna live. She said, I'll get a second opinion. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
One of those deals. But yeah, you know, I'm glad to be here.
So you actually did the same thing I did, because I went on to college and worked at the College Station. You did the same thing at Princeton and got into radio that way. But it's interesting to note that many people have said to me, well, you know, Mark, you belong on radio, not on TV. But you, here you are, you've been on TV. How did you do the transition from radio to TV?
Well, you know, I think it was one of those things where, you know, in the heyday of alternative rock, which, I mean, is, of course, still out there, I mean, it's morphed into, like, you know, many different things as rock tends to do, music, modern music is. You know, I was really big championing, you know, all the new wave and then the alternative rock that was going on at the time, and even kind of helping morph what was considered original alternative rock, like bringing in bands like Soundgarden and many others. And Nirvana, you know, I mean, the transition came because, you know, the show 120 Minutes I ended up becoming probably the longest running host of on MTV. It was on for quite a few years, and I became really the last long-term host. I mean, after I left, they tried a couple people, and the fans weren't really into them, and they didn't really work out. Plus, I think the channel was just committed to the show anyway. But, you know, I always thought that would be a great show for me to do, and I'd gotten a good reputation for interviewing artists, so... when they one of the hosts had been let go, thing was there were people in the MTV music department who would call me up to track records and to find out, you know, what was working in our music markets. You know what I mean? In other words, like in the area of between New York and Philadelphia and Jersey, you know, they call me up and go, hey, what are people listening to? What are they requesting? I mean, they wanted to know. They were doing their research. So when they called me, when I'd read that they had let the host 120 minutes ago, I'd be, of course, you know, having, you know, big kahunas just decided to say, you know, hey, you know, I asked them, I go, so well, do you have a host for the show now? And they said, no, we're still looking for one. I said, well, you know, I think you probably need somebody like me who can actually know what the artists are about as opposed to just having to do a read a one sheet or something like that. And,
uh-huh.
You know, and the guy said to me, well, you know, maybe that might be a good idea. I'll ask around, you know, maybe they won't think you have the look of the demo, you're not in the demo,
uh-huh.
In the age group. And, yeah, and I said, well, great, just ask around, that'd be cool. And so what they ended up doing was call me back within 3 hours to tell me they'd give me an audition. And but of course, you know, the way things moved in that period, 120 minutes of the show on MTV was not a big priority at the time because it was on late at night, you know, and it was an alternative music show. So they ended up, you know, telling me that, you know, within 3 hours they'd give me an audition, but I didn't end up auditioning for 3 months because it just wasn't a high priority for them at the time, and they were letting the artist host it. So I went in, and I was quite nervous at the time, but because, you know, I was like a deer in headlights. I was used to radio, but I really hadn't been in front of the camera. So they liked the audition, and then they ended up having me, do a show in 93 as a fill-in, and then the rest of it, you know, the rest of the whole thing just kind of took place. I did it, I stayed in touch with them, and then eventually, I ended up on the air there and getting hired there full-time,
right.
Which was really good. So that was cool.
One of the things you did, your Take It to the Mat segment on MTV Live was the same thing I've been doing for years, the Stump on Trivia stuff we've been doing here on the network for a while, which people really seem to enjoy.
Isn't that fun? I mean, you love doing it? You got to. I mean,
my era is a little bit different than yours. I'm an expert on mid-60s to early 70s.
But I got to be honest, I love that stuff, too. You know, I would love to, you and I should have fun with that one time on the air. We should do that together because, you know, actually, I love that era as well, and I'm really knowledgeable in it. But, I mean, because, obviously, you know, MTV's audience was younger, you know what I mean? We
right.
focused on 80s and 90s stuff.
Yeah, mine puts more in VH1, you know, type of stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Rock and Roll Jeopardy, it's, you know, I'm going to be on a list December 14th, that VH1 show,
mm-hmm.
as a guest, but for Guilty Pleasure albums, but it's funny how they never asked me to be on Rock and Roll Jeopardy, because Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray is on there and is a real champion. And I said to everybody, he goes, you know, I know a lot about music, but, you know, Matt would be perfect for this. So maybe you and I can do one on the air sometime on your show, Mark. That'd
be
great.
Cool. Maybe we'll do that. That'd be a great idea. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on. Who are Jimmy and Doug from Farm Club?
Jimmy Iovine is, you know, the guy who was actually the chairman of Interscope Records and created Interscope Records.
Oh, okay.
Which, historically... You know, and Doug Morris is another guy. He's the chairman of Universal. He comes from the Atlantic Records background, MCA. Doug Morris, you know, is famous in the 60s. He produced a lot of 60s bands. He even wrote Sweet Talking Guy, that hit for the Chiffons, wrote lots of records in that period. And, you know, stayed in the business all these years. He's a real veteran. Mm-hmm. Jimmy's the same thing. Jimmy has worked on records from everybody from Bruce Springsteen to Tom Petty. You know, a lot of classic artists. He's produced their albums. U2. And he's just been, you know, I mean, instrumental in the careers of everybody from Eminem to, you know, to Limp Bizkit, who are bands that dominate the charts now. So he's just, you know, he's really, those two guys are two of the most powerful record executives out there. But they're also still really strong instrumental in breaking new artists. And, you know, for them, Jimmy and Doug's Farm Club was a dream to embrace the internet. And because a lot of the music industry were not really that interested in embracing the internet. In fact, they were quite afraid of it at one point.
If you're just tuning in, by the way, I just want to tell people, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Matt Pinfield about FarmClub.com. It's a show on USA Network Monday nights at 11. It's also a record label. It's also a website.
You know, I should put, you know, today they've kind of changed. They've changed the times and the nights that it's on. It's now easier for people to stay up and watch because it's Fridays at 11 p.m.
Oh,
tonight it's on, and it's on Saturdays at midnight.
Oh, okay.
And if you have much music in America or Canada, you can see it at 9 p.m. on Tuesday. So it's on three times a week.
Cool.
It's an hour. It's an hour-long show where we feature the biggest artists performing live. Plus, every week we give an unsigned artist an opportunity to fly into Universal Studios and play on our stage alongside, you know, the biggest bands that are out there. And I also run around the country and do stories on some of the unsigned artists just to show how people struggle to try and break into the music business. You know, as opposed to doing a show on putting a band together, you know, like having auditions. These are people that really start their bands or in their bedrooms, in their basements, you know, the local music halls that they rent. And,
now, Matt, I hate to just change the keys here, but we have to kind of wrap this up. But,
okay.
Yeah, I assume you're married and happy because you have a little one there.
Yeah, I am, absolutely.
Now, you also have a co-host that I think is just, Allie Landry.
Absolutely.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
she looks like a model or something. I assume that's
well, you know, obviously, you know, her history, she was the Doritos girl. Everybody knows that commercial from the Super Bowl, and, you know, she's also been in some movies recently. And she's in this new movie, Replicate. But, yeah, she's been on Felicity. She was Miss USA, and yeah, she's my co-host, and we actually have a, you know, third co-host field correspondent named Nadine Ellis as well.
Yes.
So yeah, it's, you know, it's nice to be flanked by beautiful women and that are very nice and knowledgeable. But, and you know, the whole, everything about the show for me is very exciting. It's the music, it's the fact that we've embraced the website. I mean, and you know, and the people have the opportunity. Oh, I should let listeners know that if you're a musician, and it doesn't just have to be rock, it can be R&B, pop, country. You know what I mean? Hip hop.
Right.
And you have music and you believe you can do it, upload to our website, which is www.farmclub.com. It'll, if you go there, it'll actually walk you through the way to put your music on our site. And then, you know, have your friends vote on it or just keep an eye out because we might come to your town and do a story on you, or might fly you to Hollywood to be on our show.
And what we'll do is at PMP Network, where this will air, PMPnetwork.com, we'll put a little link over to farmclub.com so folks can check it out after they listen to our interview with you.
Absolutely. That's great, Mark.
And,
hey, listen, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk this morning.
Yeah, you take care of yourself, and tell Allie that Mark says hi.
I absolutely will.
All right, take care.
Take care, Mark. Bye-bye. You have a good one. Bye-bye.